Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Hi, I'm Angela Peabody of Global Woman Peace Foundation, and I listen to America's Meditating Radio Show.
I'm Ivy Hilton, and you are listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
Take a break. Breathe. Why don't you visit the Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center, 518-589-5000. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital, and I hope that today finds you in a good spirit. I am consistently trying to find ways in how to work around personalities and people. No matter what you say or do, stuff has a way of coming up in those relationships, doesn't it? Have you ever had to take care of a mother who doesn't hear well because her filters are just totally off? Well, I am, and it's been quite an interesting experience. And I have to tell you, it's something that's teaching me about a greater sense of humility and empathy. Sometimes I think about, well, when I'm in my 80s and 90s, am I going to even have someone to even be there that I can trust and feel comfortable with? And that one of the most beautiful things to carry in your narrative is that you were kind, you were loving, you were thoughtful, and you were respectful. There are a lot of health issues that are taking place in our lives. It could be mental health. It could be physical health. It could be even a relationship. I find a relationship to be a form of health care. My relationships aren't working well. I can feel it in my body. Things don't feel right because my mind isn't feeling right. And so today, our special guest is Dr. Shamini Jain. It's one in four people, you know. We've heard about this because there are one in four people that are suffering globally from chronic health issues. And our guest today, Dr. Shamini Jain, is going to help us to understand more about what's going on. She's the founder and CEO of the Consciousness and Healing Initiative, which is helping to revolutionize scientific study and awareness of the effectiveness of biofield healing. Dr. Shamini Jain is a psychologist, scientist, and social entrepreneur, and she serves as an assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of California, San Diego. She has been featured on Gaia TV, Curious Minds with Deepak Chopra, the documentary Vibration, The Symphony of Life, CNN, U.S. News, and much more. She's on the board of the director of Greenheart International, Modern Spirit, and Leap Forward. It's interesting to have this conversation today because healthcare is such a big, 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 big conversation. We need to take care of ourselves, and there needs to be an evolution of healthcare. And today we're going to see what Dr. Jain's going to tell us. Dr. Jain, welcome to the air.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. It is an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. So listen, you have said that part of the health crisis that we face is that we just don't understand how healing works, and that once we start paying attention to real evidence that shows how we can heal ourselves and others, we can really begin to make needed transformations in medicines as well as within ourselves. Could you tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on this?
Absolutely, Sister Janet. You know, we have been steeped in a paradigm of materialism, that is believing that we are no more than our physical bodies, in medicine for some time. And as you know, there has been a illusory disconnection between the spirit and the body and the power of the spirit to heal the body. So whether we use the word spirit, soul, consciousness, or similar terms, we're really talking about the ability that we have to heal ourselves and others. And this sort of work, the research, the applications have been really marginalized in today's Western medicine models. But as you might know, they have been very, very present in indigenous traditions of medicine for millennia. And so what we feel is with the Consciousness and Healing Initiative, which is our nonprofit collaborative that brings together many different faces and understandings of wisdom from science, healthcare, and otherwise, we feel that it's time to really bridge these worlds and you know, split this illusory divide that we have between science and spirituality so that we can really have a deeper understanding of how we foster healing in ourselves and others.
Love that. You know, we are getting closer to that, aren't we, Dr. Jane? We're beginning to recognize that whatever the soul is going through, it's also impacting our physical well-being.
Absolutely. I think this is very true, and yet we've barely scratched the surface of exploring this through science, and we can have lively discussions about whether it's even meaningful to try to prove that the soul exists through science. But what we do know is that 50 years ago, we didn't believe that our emotions affected our health. I mean, that's where we were 50 years ago. So if we think about the tremendous progress that we've made since then in the fields of psychoneuroimmunology, which is the research field that I can say grew up in, that's where I've done most of my research. I tell folks if you hear the word psychoneuroimmunology and you wonder what it means, you're not alone. It's really just a fancy word for explaining, you know, exploring the interconnections between our psyche, which is really our spirit, right, with our immune system and our brain, and we're really exploring these interconnections. And this area of what we call the biofield, which is a term we Western scientists have been using for explaining the fields of energy and information that guide our health, we feel is the next missing link. So as we're moving forward, exploring these beautiful interconnections between our emotions, we might ask ourselves, you know, what's next? We know now that, you know, certain emotional states and the way we sort of view the world, you know, the lenses and the filters that we view the world impact our health. There's more and more mounting evidence to suggest that it impacts disease and it impacts healing. But what lies beyond the emotions? You know, that's the next question. And how do the vibrations of the soul affect our healing process? So we feel that the biofield is a really nice framework for extending this and understanding how something is ineffable, you know, to people as a spirit can affect healing on all levels, including the physical.
So now when we talk about biofield, are we looking at the consciousness and the healing process together? Are we looking at soul and body? Because medicine tends to look more at the numbers of the physical. And is the biofield saying, but the energy in the body is also playing a factor in the way that you're feeling?
That is such a great question. And, you know, the way we describe biofield right now is that, you know, we could think of big B biofield, and the truth is, scientifically, we have no idea what big B biofield is, like we could talk about big C consciousness, right? So we talk about it as interacting and interpenetrating fields, and some of those are directly measurable. That is, we can measure the electromagnetic emanations coming from our bodies. We do that already, right? That's how we determine sometimes heart disease. We look at the electrocardiogram, and we look at the physical emanations that are coming from the heart when we place an electrode on the skin. So that's not very controversial. We also, though, talk about the other aspects of the biofield that healers use, that healers talk about. And here, of course, we are talking about those ancient understandings of chi, prana, so many different names that have been used to describe the subtle energy aspects that interact, that are considered to be the interface between the soul and the body, you can say. So the way we study that is to really study healers. And so many, many scientists in our group have been doing research exploring the effects of, you know, what we might call hands-on healing, energy healing, we call it biofield healing, to explore, you know, how do these practices that have been used in many different cultures, you know, for thousands of years, how do they really affect healing in people, you know, both from a patient level, on the biological level, on the spiritual level. So it's really, it's been a fascinating journey, and there's still a lot to learn.
Yeah, I can see that, because even as I'm talking with you, I'm also trying to capture it for me to take away, like, oh, I think I really need to do this for me. Is there anything that you could share with our audience, some examples of action steps people can actually take to make a positive impact on their biofield?
Absolutely. This is, you know, I would say step one, especially living in today's busy world where we are just assaulted with so much input. There's increasing evidence, and we'll be talking about this actually in a wonderful conference that we're having in Santa Clara on July 18th called I Don't End Here, where we're going to be exploring all of these aspects of biofield science and healing. There's increasing evidence from our colleagues at HeartMath and other places that our heart rhythms are tied to the vibrations and the magnetic field of the earth. And the practice of what has been called grounding exists in, you know, many different cultures. Grounding can be considered a meditation practice. And whether you want to call it visualization or you experience it as bioenergetic, the practice is very simple. And I would invite, you know, us and our listeners to do this right now. We can simply place our feet on the ground comfortably. Whether we're sitting or standing makes no difference as long as we're in a comfortable posture. Mm-hmm. And we'll invite the breath to come into the body all the way down into the feet so that we can really feel the contact of our feet with the ground beneath us. And even if we're in, you know, a high-rise apartment or something, it doesn't matter. Right now we're focusing on really grounding our energy down into our feet. This is one of the first steps in bringing biofield awareness and bringing the prana, bringing the energy from the earth up into us, because, you know, we're not simply parasites that live on the earth, but we feed the earth and the earth feeds us. So we're establishing that connection with the earth bioenergetically by doing practices like these. So that's just one simple biofield-based practice. And then, of course, as you may know, in many different traditions, Tantra yoga traditions, many spiritual practices, you can feel the biofield by chanting mantras, by focusing on chakras, different practices like that, that maybe some of your listeners are already aware of and doing.
Mm-hmm, they are. Dr. Jane, I have a question for you. We've become a society and a culture of wanting quick fixes, and we're not necessarily always looking at the reason why we get ill. You know, we still want to go out and have those big burgers, whether it's your vegetarian burger or maybe a Big Mac, and we still want to have that big plate of fries and greasy stuff, lots of cheese. In other words, we're not always prone to transform our behavior when it comes onto our health. Mm-hmm. So we tend to look for therapies that can just make us feel better but still allow us to practice the same bad habits that we've often been practicing. I hope I'm making sense here. What does biofield do to also help us to really begin to think more about the choices of food and the way we're taking care of our health? Is there a process in that too? Is there something that it helps, it offers?
It's such a wonderful question. If we consider that the practice of biofield awareness, meditations involving the perception of subtle energy around the body, bringing us closer to our soul, we'll be more and more aware of what our body is telling us it needs versus what our, you know, reigning conditioned desires are, right? Because most of the time when we're reaching for something that's unhealthy, it's either because of habit, which is conditioning, or it's because we're feeling an emotional need that hasn't been fed anywhere else. But the more we practice many different forms of meditation, as you know very well, the more we get tuned to the subtle, to the biofield, the more we're actually tuned to, what is my body telling me right now? What is my body's energy telling me that it needs? And so we start actually craving the right foods as opposed to the wrong ones. Now, you know, habit is habit, and there's a reason why, you know, we do things like panchakarma, we do cleansing. There's a reason why cleansing is involved in spiritual traditions. We all have that because sometimes we do need to sort of clean the emotional, environmental toxins out of our body to reset our bodies and relearn what our body is asking for. But as we practice biofield awareness, it just gives us another tool to really deeply listen in to the wisdom of our body and what it's really asking for.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's for those of us who are really very sensitive about our needs, because I'll tell you, in the last few months, I've been feeling my body wanting nutrients, and I'm pure vegetarian for many years, and yet I'm feeling it needs something, and I'm needing more water, more green, and I could hear it. I can hear it just by the way the physical body feels. And I would really like to bring to our audience's attention, please be honest with your feelings, because I think that honesty on the self will help you to, you know, not move into diseases that could have been prevented at the beginning. What kind of widespread health, you know, public health issues can biofuel therapies actually help to address? For example, can they help with cancer recovery or the opiate crisis that's happening in this country now, rampant? It's the third largest, I think, drug disease that's like killing off of America.
Absolutely. And if you think about, you know, the ways we, you know, our government is responding to the problem, we're getting better. But, you know, ultimately, you know, our initial response was the pathogenic model response. So there's an invader, you know, in this case, it's pain and suffering, and we want to get rid of it. So we're going to take a drug to numb ourselves from the pain and suffering. And that clearly has not helped at all. It's actually made things worse. What we know from the science of these energy therapies is that actually the strongest evidence, you know, we've done what are called systematic reviews where we compile all the evidence across many, many different studies. And so we've done systematic reviews where we've looked at all the evidence behind these hands-on healing biofield therapies. And the strongest evidence is actually for pain. So there's, you know, evidence from many, many different studies beyond placebo effects that these types of biofield approaches like healing touch, you know, therapeutic touch, laying on of hands and other approaches can actually help with pain. And of course, they're not the only ones. Acupuncture can be considered a biofield therapy because it works with the body's meridians and energy system. And there are many, many different studies showing the efficacy of acupuncture for many different types of pain. So there is evidence to suggest that these types of biofield therapies help to bring us back to a place where the body and mind can help to heal itself. And, you know, as you know, being a long-term meditator, perhaps they also help us to remember that, you know, pain is there, suffering is optional. Mm-hmm. So it helps also widen our lens. So there is that. We also did a study, you know, you mentioned cancer recovery. I did a study. Mm-hmm. It was a randomized controlled trial, and we also controlled for placebo variables. I won't get into the depths of how we did everything, but I do have videos that sort of describe it all. What we found was that hands-on healing approaches, and what was happening here is that a well-trained healer was actually placing their hands on the body, stimulating the vital energy. That's how a healer would describe it. We compared that with mock healers who didn't have any training, but were still touching, because we know touch has beneficial effects. And then we looked at all kinds of other variables like connection, and how connected did you feel with your practitioner, and how much did you believe that these hands-on therapies were helping. We looked at all these different variables, and what we found was that the biofield therapy, the actual hands-on healing therapy, not only substantially reduced fatigue for our breast cancer survivors, but it improved their cortisol rhythms as well. It improved what we call cortisol variability, which is the variation of cortisol throughout the day. That variation of cortisol throughout the day tends to be important for everyone in regulating sleep, inflammation. And it's tied to the experience of fatigue and depression in breast cancer survivors. So when we saw that this energy therapy, right, which is if you ask an energy healer what they're doing, they're grounding, they're getting out of the way, they're allowing themselves to be a conduit for divine universal energy that is fostering a healing response in the client through working through blocks and clearing out toxins, basically. That's how they will describe it. So that process actually helped reduce fatigue and improve hormonal functioning in these survivors. It was quite tremendous considering that we still have no clear, you know, tried and true gold standard treatment for cancer-related fatigue, even though it's the number one complaint for cancer patients and survivors. So, you know, and there are no side effects for this. There's no overdose. There's nothing of that sort. So these are very, if you look at, you know, what we call the benefit to harms ratio, the benefits, you know, appear to be substantial, and the harms appear to be a lot less. So,
much better than prescribed medications, for sure. I know that the first Friday of each month, you offer a free monthly webinar series. Could you tell us more about that?
Absolutely, we do webinars for the public on various topics of healing. The last one that we did was on the effects of gratitude on heart health, which was just a really tremendous webinar that we did with Dr. Paul Mills at UC San Diego. We will be doing one the first Friday of every month, and the one in March is actually going to be about the heart of collaboration, moving from me to we, and we'll be talking with leader and clinical psychologist Ronit Hertzfeld, who has done tremendous work in helping people. As she's a New Yorker, so I'll kind of paraphrase her, in working through their schmutz so that we can actually effectively collaborate. So she's really wonderful. She's a no-nonsense person. These are available free to the public as part of our offerings as a nonprofit. We are very, very passionate about scaling healing for all of humanity.
Well, I definitely picked that up from our conversation. I was really trying to catch up. I was trying to keep up, rather, because I know that, no, that's okay. I'm so okay with that. You know your stuff. And it seems as if your call is definitely in the area of taking medicine to a whole different level, in the healing process to a whole different level. And we appreciate you for that. I think we're at a loss as to how we manage our health care. And if we keep going this conventional way where the government has some sort of a control over our health, I just don't know what we're going to do, because it's about you. You've got to be responsible for the way that you're feeling, what you're putting in your body, and what you're doing with your body, as well as dot, 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 dot. So I appreciate the work that you're offering. Leave us on a positive note. Tell us what we need to just do more to be better in terms of our health care, and what's the best way to keep in touch with you. How do we keep a hold? How do we get in touch with you more?
Sure. I'm happy to do that. So, you know, this is, you know, February is Heart Month, and, you know, really every month is Heart Month, but we've been focusing a lot on the power of connection and gratitude. And the short answer is that it matters. It really matters for our heart health. So doing very simple practices like keeping a gratitude journal, sharing your appreciation with others, helps to open your heart, connect better, and that fosters better health. And that's been seen in studies that have looked at the effects of, for example, gratitude journaling in cardiovascular disease, and found decreased inflammation by simply writing down the things that you're grateful for every day. And so maybe many of your listeners are doing that. There are so many ways that we can improve our health today and improve our connection with others. And in a world where, you know, we have all these forces that are trying to polarize us, it's more and more important that we come together in connection and community so that we align with each other's passions and really look past our differences and realize that those differences are really ego-based. At, you know, at the heart of things, right, we're all spirit. We're all souls. We're all connected souls. And we all really want the same things. We want love. We want to be loved. We want the best for our families, for our communities. And so finding ways to find common ground so that we can connect better with others, regardless of whether they're a family member or someone that, you know, we've never met, or someone that we have very different political ideologies. We are all people, and when we connect soul to soul, as you know, magical things can happen, and solutions can be can emerge from that. So that's a positive thing. The other thing I would say is I'd invite people to come to our conference. We're having an amazing conference on July 18th. It's in partnership with one of our partners for the Consciousness and Healing Initiative. The partner is the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And so in Santa Clara, on July 18th, we are going to be having a fabulous all-day conference on the biofield with luminaries including Bruce Lipton, Larry Dossey, Rosalind Bruyere, Lissa Rankin, and many others. And we're going to be exploring practices as well as science. We'll be exploring the impact of art on the biofield and how the biofield has its place in medicine and how it has a place in unifying us today, which is so important. And you can learn more about our organization and this conference by going to our website, which is www.chi.is or chi.is, chi.is. And our webinars can also be found by going to webinarsonhealing.com.
Beautiful. Perfect. Dr. Shimini Jain, thank you so much. And lots of congratulations for... I love when someone's so passionate about what they do, you make us believe every word that you just said. And I think that everyone's going to want to learn more about the science field, because it's important. We want to feel that energy of truth in trying something that we might not be very comfortable with, because people are just really complicated. But I think that you were able to allow us to trust more in more mystical ways as well as practical ways to see how we can heal ourselves better, and I appreciate you for that. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Sister Jenna. Thank you.
Lots of good wishes to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So as you heard, Shimini, like I did, this is really the powerful source of the future of biofield science, and I think that if we can really dig deeper into it, we can learn something new. We do need some new ways of taking care of our health, everyone. So for more information, please go to Dr. Jane. You can find her at chi.s, or at shaminijane.com for more information. And don't forget their upcoming conference in July with a lot of our friends, too. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We really are here to love each other the same. And so I'm going to end the show with I Rise, because I really want to do that for myself today. It's been quite a day today. Take care, everyone. I rise above. I'm the master of my own mind. I sit here with a pure intention to gain mastery over my thoughts and therefore mastery over my words and actions. As I hear the thoughts through words of others, I ask myself, is that my truth? My original nature is one of love, peace, purity, truth, and joy. And sometimes when I hear the words that do not match my original nature, I have the choice to rise above and remember who I really am. As a master of my mind, I decide which thoughts stay and which thoughts must go. I choose to rise above. As I rise above in consciousness and interpretations of stories, narratives that no longer support my truth or present, a greater power, greater peace and acceptance for myself and others surrounds me in this moment. As a master of my mind, I rise above, replacing thoughts of fear, anger, greed, and divide. Thoughts of belonging, respect, love, and wisdom. As I rise above, I find clarity, a deeper meaning, and the courage to continue to move on. I rise above. And I remember who I am and why I'm here. And that is to love everyone the same. Let me sit in this state of being above. I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.